Hello and welcome to the Digital Prosperity Podcast with me, Andy Gibbons, here with a brand new show and a brand new format. I've been part of JDR for 15 years now. I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners, so I have seen it all, so to speak. I'm here though with a familiar voice in Will Williamson. He's one of our directors here. Hello, Will.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah. Good. It's good. It's been good. Good to be back. We've had a break, but we're back and ready to give these business owners and directors the benefit of hopefully our wisdom.
Definitely. Well, the aim of this show is it's aimed at small to medium-sized business owners who want to grow and develop their businesses, particularly in their marketing and sales. And today's show is all about sales in 2024. You know, what's different now to more, say, traditional selling, if you like, how technology is changing the landscape in sales. And also discussing between us what our thoughts are for the future in sales and where it all where the land lies with it. So we're going to dive straight in this morning. And so, Will, tell me a bit about yourself. And how long have you been in sales for now?
We started JDR in 2004. So as we record this is nearly 20 years ago.
Yes.
I've actually been in sales and marketing roles for longer than that. So it's actually about 27 years in total now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I actually did my first, what you would class it as a sales role, it was a telemarketing role when I was 16. And it was cold calling for windows and double glazing.
Brilliant.
It was a classic sales office at the time. Obviously at 16, I had no idea. I had no experience. It was my first proper job.
Yeah.
The interview lasted about 5 minutes. and I was in. I think they just wanted to know I could read a script and talk, and that was about it.
That was it,
But what it was great for is to get an understanding of the importance of sales systems, because while I was there, what we used to do is ring people and try and find people that were interested in talking to us and getting a quote for redoing the double glazing in their house. And there was always an offer that if your property did the windows were really good, you might get featured as a show home and get them for free.
Right,
that was always that was the incentive, if you like. And I always remember it was difficult to persuade people to at that particular point to spend the time with a sales rep, going through measuring up, getting the whole house quoted for, etc. So you'd be aiming to make a certain number of appointments. But what they did, which was it was a smart move, was to, instead of having a team of like 10, 15 people trying to do that, they changed it so they took their two or three best salespeople, and everybody else, they asked people to simply ring round and ask people a hypothetical question.
Okay.
If you were able to get any windows and doors done in your house and replaced with modern UPVC for free,
right,
how many would you have done? And we just asked that question, and then the people that gave an answer, that they might say, oh, we'd have the back window done, the back door, and we need actually you go, okay, great. Would it be all right if someone gave you a call to explain how that might be possible? And so instead of trying to train people to overcome difficult objections and learn a long sales script,
you just set appointments.
Very, very simple. You split that sales process into two easier steps.
Yeah.
And left it to your best people then to try and convert that initial interest, which by that time was easier because they'd already started thinking about it.
Yes.
And the results for the whole office went up, and that was a really good example of how changing a system, having a better system, is kind of better than having great salespeople, if that makes sense.
Yes. And also breaking it down, isn't it, of of taking somebody from not being interested in having in Windows to buying Windows as well.
It's massively underrated, the power, the importance of having a sales process and a sales system.
Yeah.
Because often in a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, it's hard to find really good salespeople.
Yeah.
But if you can find a really good sales system, your business is completely changed. And as you know from helping people implement HubSpot CRM and sales enablement, onboarding, and so on. So one of the things that both Andy and I do is to help companies to implement the HubSpot CRM system, and we'll ask people about their what's your sales process?
Yeah, we will.
And I don't know what the percentages are, but it's not a high percentage that have a very well-defined sales process.
No, it's normally we get a quote, we quote for it, we send it out. Crazy how often and common it is to I ask a very simple question, is how effective are you at following those mm-hmm. up, and most of them will say we don't.
Yes,
we wait for them to contact us.
That, which is fine, and all of that is good. However, people's results would be way better with a few simple changes to their approach and their system, which don't necessarily, because I think a lot of people think that sales is all about the gift of the gab and you've either got it or you haven't. But actually, a lot can be done just by asking a good question in a certain place, or having a better follow-up system. And you know, systems, when put together with good salespeople, are absolutely unstoppable. So in answer to your question, 27 years in total, and now while we've been at JDR, obviously we started out in coaching, so we part of that was sales training and working with people's sales teams to help them implement and put in practice great sales systems.
Yes.
To provide their teams with sales training, now we're helping people use technology to automate and refine and measure their sales processes and sales systems. I've had involvement with sales for all sorts of different clients over the years in all sorts of different businesses. Loads and loads of service companies as well, where there is a difference between selling products and selling services. And when it's services, often people say it's really difficult to sell because it's the invisible. It's it's not something people can see.
It's not tangible. Feel.
It's not tangible. And we've got a lot of experience in helping service businesses to put a system around how they go about what are often tailored and bespoke services, but actually making that into an effective sales process.
Brilliant. What do you see the main differences are today then when it comes to sales? Obviously, we looked at the history there of your first role in sales. What are the main differences you see back then to today when, as we look at things in 2024?
There's been a lot of changes since those double glazing
just
days.
A few.
I think probably the two biggest things that have changed over the past 20, 30 years in sales. One is technology, what technology is available to us as salespeople and to your sales teams. So you have the ability to do virtual meetings rather than face-to-face meetings, right? Which is, for many businesses, a complete game changer. Complete game changer. It would be impossible for a lot of businesses to scale the way they've scaled without being able to do virtual sales rather than in person.
Yes.
Just because of logistics and travel and so on.
Something that we started in 2012.
Yeah,
by the way,
absolutely.
I was doing virtual meetings in 2012.
Yeah.
People was a post-COVID thing or forced into it in 2020. I'd been doing online meetings for 8 years previously.
And let me tell you, it's a massive, well, it will, we will talk about that, the difference between face-to-face and virtual, because there's pluses and minuses of both. But
yeah,
that has been a big change. The use of CRM systems. You probably remember my pile of papers that I had.
I used to have to fax my appointments to you at the end of every day.
I forgot I had a fax machine.
Yeah. Because all the appointment sheet, we had to have these appointment sheets. So when I started in 2009 at JDR, and I was one of, I think it was a team of 8 telemarketers. And one of my roles was the appointments that I would make for Will, who would go and see clients and to talk about their websites and their marketing. I think, you know, back then, obviously, technology wasn't, I don't think we even had a website either at the start, but the appointment sheets I would make, we'd write down all the details about the company, the business name, the address that he was going to, put them on a piece of paper, and then I would fax them over to Will at the end of every day.
Absolutely. Our database was a Filofax, well, a filing cabinet rather, full of scraps of paper, old appointment sheets, all of that stuff. Today we've got CRM systems, we've got automation, we've got AI, and it means as a salesperson you can be much more effective with your time, more strategic about who you're spending your time with. The productivity has gone up, analytics and insight has gone up, you can do more research quicker about your prospects. There's more information available, so you can learn faster. There's an incredible amount of education available online. So all of that has made a big difference on the sales side. The other thing that has changed massively is buyer behavior. And again, that's in response to the internet and the fact that, you know, we've all got the entire history of worlds of human knowledge at our fingertips. From a buying perspective, it means if I'm considering a product or service, I can find out anything I want about it whenever I want and look it up, get reviews, do comparisons, find cheaper alternatives, find better alternatives. I can read the pros and the cons, and I can do all that research myself. I don't need to be talking to a salesperson. 30 years ago, you didn't have the capability as a buyer to go and do that type of research and comparison. You had to listen to what people told you.
The salespeople were a source of information that's how you learn about new products and services.
Absolutely. And you really had to, you know, you were choosing the company or the product as much on, do you trust the salesperson as anything else? Whereas you can do a lot more of your own research these days. And what that's done from a sales perspective is it's put power, if you like, into the hands of buyers, and it's changed the role of the salesperson, I think. So a lot of modern sales is less about bringing an idea or a product to someone that would never have heard about it, and more about working with people who have done their research and are looking for a solution, and guiding them and advising them and helping make sure that what they choose is the right fit for their needs, so they stay a customer and, you know, but, you know, work with you in the long term. So I think those two things combined have meant that, you know, if you go back and look at the sales literature from the 1980s, you can read some of that, and it just wouldn't work quite
stack
a lot
up today.
Or it doesn't feel right when you look at today's customer salesperson interactions.
Yes, exactly. It is more advisory, and, you know, you've noticed that from a long period of time now, is that it's understanding what that client's challenges are before you even go into solutions. Whereas historically, if you've got a product even or a service or whatever, is that's the first port of call, isn't it? That's where you start, because this person has no idea about it. Whereas now you're talking to people that are educated. I've been in plenty of situations, and I'm sure many of you listening have as well, where you feel that you're more educated than the person trying to sell it to you. I remember buying my last car, and I'd done that much research, watched that many videos, weighed up all the pros and cons, and I remember the bloke, I trying to give me his feature rundown of the car, and I was saying this version doesn't have that. He was trying to find a feature, and I knew that it didn't have it because it wasn't the version of it.
I can totally imagine you doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you know, in addition to that, I think that from a business owner's perspective, I think that it's got. I don't know, but my feeling is it's harder now as a business owner to find good salespeople.
Yes,
I think that's got harder. I think that 20 or 30 years ago, there's still quite a lot of people that would work commission only.
Yeah,
and would work on a results only. But I think there's way fewer people like that out there these days.
There's less value with that salesperson in the sense that they brought their wealth of contacts and
yeah.
and relationships that they would have. You were, because you were kind of buy, when you were hiring a salesperson, you were kind of buying their contacts really more than anything else. Whereas obviously with the online world, the virtual world, those relationships have changed. They're not as strong.
Yep.
As they would be previously, you know, because they're now more, they're more like LinkedIn connections potentially than that. So the art of the salesperson is more, you know, the benefit to a business though is the fact that you don't need to potentially pay the salary of a salesperson, the value that that brings in if you've got a system generating leads and inbound leads for
you. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, the amount of times business owners have talked to me about, well, like if I get a salesperson, you know, it's a 60 grand salary and it's a car and it's a laptop and it's a phone and you've got to wait for 12 months before you find out if they're any good or not. We had a client, I don't know if you heard this story, but we had a client that hired a salesperson.
Right.
And they'd been in the company for 3 months and... the business owner was starting to get anxious about results and was starting to look at the diary and what they were doing and is anything happening here? And the guy just didn't show up for work one day.
Right.
So he contacted some of the people that this guy had supposedly been to see in his diary, in his schedule, and they hadn't met him.
Yeah.
He'd not been on any of the appointments he said he'd been, not been doing any of the things he said he was. And it turned out he wasn't who he said he was. That he had joined the company with a false CV on a false name, and I mean, this is nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting.
But it just shows that it is a minefield out there finding good salespeople.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing I think has changed is that you know, people like HubSpot and other software and technology companies that we work with now have two or three different types of salespeople.
Yes.
They'll have inside salespeople and field salespeople, and they'll have kind of sales engineers who are providing technical support, and it's kind of a hybrid between customer service and sales.
Yes.
And people that are, you know, just generating initial appointment and interest and setting things up and
then business development.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a term when I first started.
Yes.
But
yeah.
It has something that's evolved quite a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it is definitely a different landscape today to what it was 30 years ago in sales. Lots of opportunity within that for people that are prepared to move with the times, invest in technology, invest in systems, you know, invest in lead generation.
Definitely. So with virtual selling, as it were, like what's different with that then today then? Like would you say it's harder today than the traditional, I say traditional, but because it still happens today, but that more traditional face-to-face selling environment?
Yeah. Well, I think is the short answer. I think that there's definitely lots and lots of products and services that you can't do virtually, that you have to do in person. But there's also lots and lots of products and services, particularly services, that really lend themselves to virtual selling. Yeah. I think anything where, you know, a big part of the of your sales process is showing something on a screen,
yeah.
for example, like software sales,
yeah.
technology, then it makes more sense to do that virtually than have someone drive 100 miles to show someone something on a screen.
Yes.
What I've noticed, because I used to do like 1,000 miles a week going out yeah. seeing customers and so on. There's definitely something in the dynamic that is lost by not being with them in person. And okay. I feel that like customers and prospects and salespeople probably all feel that when they move to virtual. However, firstly, it's tremendously advantageous in terms of productivity, because you can have 3 or 4 meetings in the time it would take you to drive to one meeting and drive yeah. back, or if not more. I've always found I can do a better work for clients than in 6 hours than I can if I'm spending 2 hours to meet them, to drive to them, 2 hours with them, and 2 hours driving back. If I spent the 6 hours just working on that client, I'd give them far better service
yes.
than 4 hours I'd be travelling. but there are lots and lots of other benefits that come with working on a virtual basis. So you've got the ability to record meetings and play things back and
yeah.
watch things back. It's in many ways easier when there are multiple decision makers involved or multiple people that would be involved.
Yes.
So,
the larger businesses I find that works well for, that
yes.
have multiple offices or global offices as
yep.
well, where they might have a director in America, Spain, UK, whatever it might
yep.
be, is getting them all together on a Zoom call is a lot easier than trying to get them all
to travel to
the same place.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, and also, you know, if I would drive out to see somebody, then that's one thing, but it would be very difficult for me to introduce them to anyone else in the team, whereas on a Zoom meeting, I could quickly bring one of our developers or
yeah.
a HubSpot expert or, you know, a website expert or someone from within our team to come and join a meeting. That becomes far easier.
Yes.
With virtual. So, yeah, you can connect people, meet with people easier. You know, there are environmental, social benefits. More people working from home these days in business. So, like, it's actually better for a lot of clients.
Yeah.
What I found, and it's just my own take on it, but I think that you definitely get something by meeting somebody in person. But I think that if you meet that person, rather than like one long meeting
yeah.
in person, if you have 3 or 4 short meetings with that person over a couple of weeks online, I think it has the same impact.
Definitely.
In terms of being able to build a rapport and a relationship and understanding each other and understanding someone's needs and developing trust and so on, which are all things that are really important. Yeah, I think you're able to meet with people faster and quicker and more frequently, and I think that in many ways outweighs the benefits of seeing people in the flesh.
Yes.
Although, like I said, you know, you may be listening to this with a product that you just have to show people,
yeah.
or they have to come to your showroom or your place of business, or you know, it has to be in person for many reasons. So. You know, it's not always possible
and you know, in person, like we said, it does have its advantages. I think that one thing you do lose with online meetings is the sort of the natural ending of a meeting,
mm-hmm.
is that because everyone is so time driven now by I've got another meeting to jump on, I've got another meeting call
yeah.
to get to,
I've got a hard stop. I hear that
phrase
several times a week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas before, if you were in someone's office, you know, you could spend 2, 3 hours potentially.
Yes.
And then you've got the walk. They'll see you out, and you'll chat, and you'll have that kind of relationship building, which is which is kind of lost today because people just, you know, give you the wave on a camp, on a Teams call, and that's it. They've moved on.
I tell you the one thing I do miss, Andy, is the biscuits.
Yes.
We had some clients that would get out the luxury biscuits when we go and see them. Oh, I enjoyed those. So that's missing definitely. But you know, you win some, you lose some.
Exactly right. You know. So obviously technology, like we said, has changed massively. One of the big things that is on, you know, everyone's kind of mind at the moment is the use of AI, and looking at how that's going to be used. It's obviously very raw at the moment. I'm sure you've all had anyone listening now has received some automated phone call about a car crash that you meant to have a week ago or whatever. But where do you see that going in the future then? Like, and where do you see the use of AI coming into sales? Is it going to hinder it? Is it going to be advantageous to salespeople, to businesses?
In the long run, it'll be advantageous, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it already has it having some impact already. So, there'll be people that are early adopting AI tools that aren't really great right now.
Right.
And probably it's being detrimental in certain situations, but there's also some really good use cases for it as well at the moment. So, we do a lot of video emails, and AI can help you mass produce personalized video emails that you can send out, for example.
Right.
So it is possible for me to record one video and AI to produce 1,500 individual personalized versions of that video and to send that out to 1,500 people that all then receive a personalized video from me.
I'm pretty sure Rishi Sunak did that recently.
Right.
Do you live in X or somewhere like that?
We've got a couple of elections later in the year here in the UK and in the US. I think we'll see lots of that type of stuff. So AI can listen to your meetings and record your meetings and can give you either real-time updates and prompts, and it can also give you analysis and insights after meetings and calls and things like that that can help you improve your performance.
Yeah.
Help you as a business owner or sales manager monitor and improve what your sales team are doing.
Yeah.
So AI there, I think, is fantastic. It's used more and more to forecast potential sales, so you've got a better idea what's coming down the track and how to predict cash flow and so on. AI can help you write your emails and automate tasks, and so already there's a lot of uses, but it's easy for AI to feel like AI at this point still.
Yeah.
And as soon as people detect it's AI, there's an instant turn off at this stage. So, but I think it will get better. It's one of those things. I'm not sure I've got the vision to fully be able to see what the possibilities are.
No.
But they're pretty massive, because I wouldn't have necessarily seen some of the use cases that we're seeing now from AI from a few years ago.
Huge.
But I know that the technology is going to continue to develop. People are going to keep finding new ways of using it, and it will be something that really enhances the best salespeople. And if you have 100 salespeople in a company, the 80-20 rule is going to apply. You're going to have a few salespeople that outperform everybody else.
Yeah.
And what AI will help is to learn from what the best people are doing and help the less able people implement it, or help make those top performers so productive and effective that you don't need the other 80%. So yeah, it will help people to scale and make their sales more effective and productive. You just have to be, I think, at the moment, careful with what and how you use it.
Definitely. I also think that I spoke to a business not that long ago now who they were augmented reality.
Oh yeah.
Which
yep.
they were a property company, but using AR, as
right.
it's called,
yep.
in property. So it's remote viewing of properties.
Yeah. Yep.
You can see a potential house.
You can see a house on Rightmove.
On Rightmove, just by putting on, and they would do the mapping of that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So they would map out the house.
Yep.
Or the they would. He was trying to pitch it to hotels, I think, as well.
Right. Right.
Is that get people to have a virtual tour of your hotel or
yes.
whatever, and you put
yep.
put that on, and it's another thing that you wouldn't have even imagined was possible.
Mm.
15 years ago.
I always thought about that with clothes. You know, you may be able to like have a picture, take a picture of yourself or a video of yourself and see what you look like wearing different items.
Yeah.
For shopping. Anyway, I mean, that's...
I did that with sunglasses recently. Ray-Ban do it on their website.
Yeah, right. Right, I think glasses, you've been able to do that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think... AI could be used in things like pricing.
Yeah.
So, like, if you've got high volume sales environment, AI could test different pricing levels and margins to work out the optimum price to
right.
to help
yeah.
you maximize your sales. I could see people joining a call center or some sort of sales environment, and AI being able to kind of listen to and interpret the conversation and pull up on screen what that person should say
right
in real time, so that they can get prompted into how to
real-time objection handling.
Exactly. Yeah, I can see stuff like that. I mean, it probably already exists to a degree. So I think as a business owner, you cannot afford to be blinkered to these tools and the technology.
Mm.
And you need to lean into the things that are going to help you be as effective as you can from a sales perspective. Because if you don't do that, ultimately you get left behind. And when the businesses that get left behind don't last as long as they should.
No. And the people that are using this now, that this is the longevity of your business. These are your future clients.
Mm.
You know, so that's what you have to start thinking about. Is not your business now, but also what's it going to look like in 5-10 years time?
Yeah.
And the same goes for sales. You know, so what do you think sales is going to look like then in 5-10 years time? Do you think that's going to change much?
Probably. But I think I think what we've seen in the last 20, 30 years is the dynamics in the relationship have changed.
Yeah.
And the medium and the technology and the, you know, whether it's over, you know, fax or email or WhatsApp, I think, you know, the medium of communication has all changed. But I think the principles are still the same as they ever always have been. I don't see a lack of a role for the human in the process. Does that make sense? I don't
yes.
see technology taking over completely. I
yes.
think there will always be a important role for a human-to-human connection when you're making buying decisions.
Yes, I think that's true. I think right now with technology, everything still needs a prompt.
Mm-hmm.
It still needs that human element to say, do this,
yeah.
do this. And I think that's going to go in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
But I also think people still buy people.
Yeah,
at
definitely.
The end of the day.
Definitely. And I think, you know, when you're getting a sense of, do I trust this person?
Mm.
Do I believe them? Are they credible? I think that those things are still essential.
Yeah.
And always have been, and I think they always will be. You know, do I understand this? Do I like it? How do I feel about it? I think those things will stay as constants.
As
principles in selling. So yeah, this might be a good time to drop in a quick plug, if you don't mind, Andy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have just put our finishing touches to a guide for business owners on sales and selling, distilling our 20 years of experience, and it just covers the key things small and medium-sized business owners should ensure they're doing in their sales processes and in their sales systems, with how they handle inquiries, send quotes, follow up. What are the fundamental things that most people probably know they should be doing, but very few businesses actually do in practice?
Yes.
So this guide we're giving away for free, and it's available on the JDR website. If you go to jdrgroup.co.uk, there's a resources tab with our free guides page. So if you go, or just go jdrgroup.co.uk/free-guides, and you'll see it there. You can get yourself a copy for free. And I'm sure if this is a topic that's close to your heart, you'll find that guide really useful.
Most definitely. And before we wrap up then today, one thing I wanted to finish on as part of this new show is a new feature, which is I call it the silver bullet, okay, which is basically a tip of the day. And what I want a business owner to go away, if they take one thing from this, listen to this show, what would you say the one thing about sales in 2024 advice would you give a business owner?
The biggest thing would be the biggest thing for me would be to work with HubSpot.
Yes.
work with JDR. But beyond that, I think it's recording your meetings and using the recordings to improve your performance. We record meetings at JDR, only for internal use, obviously.
Yes.
And training and research and so on. But since implementing that, and we use a tool called Gong to do this automatically. There are other tools like that available.
Yeah.
That's a great use of AI. There's a lot of, I've joined lots of meetings with clients that have their own AI tools that take notes and record and so on. But these types of tools that can automatically join and record your meetings for you over Zoom, Teams, whatever you use, can give you analytics on things like the conversation, how good a job you're doing at listening, how good a job you are doing at sharing information, going back and forth, answering questions. You can get data on all of that now automatically. One of the things I love with Gong is we get a nice little summary of every meeting.
Yes.
That's just pulled together automatically. What it enables us to do is to, when someone has had dealt with a particular situation in a really effective way, we can use that as a reference point for other people that are training, so they can learn how to handle that situation going forward. It's an incredible training tool. It's incredible when with clients, we have multiple people involved in delivering a client's marketing. And for them to be able to watch a recording of the client and instantly get up to speed with that business and what they do is really, really useful.
Yeah.
So it's such a powerful tool when we're collaborating in clients. You can spot trends. It's one of those things. You can use it for coaching and developing team members by watching how they've handled things, spotting training opportunities, development opportunities, in terms of this is sales, but it's also if you are having meetings with existing customers and doing customer support, it's useful from that perspective as well.
Yeah.
So having tools that can record your meetings and then using those recordings to improve your processes, systems, train your team, identify potential challenges. You know, if you could do one thing on the back of what we've talked about today, one use of technology, then that would be it.
That would be it. And I completely agree. There's no time when there's plenty of times in an evening where I think, did I ask that question? What did that person say? And what I will do is I will load up the recording of that meeting, search for the question that I thought I might have asked or not asked, and get the clip that comes and it cuts straight into it as well, and I go, yeah, that said that. But it's great for extra listening, because things that I have thought I've asked or maybe not asked, or someone has said and they haven't said it, I can go back and check as well, which is incredibly powerful. I couldn't do that if I was seeing people face to face. I'd be going on memory. Yes. My memory isn't getting great. It's getting worse as I'm getting older. So, you know.
Fortunately, as your memory is getting worse, the technology is getting better. So those two things are keeping you at a good place.
Yes, exactly. Pretty much. So we're going to wrap up there then. So thanks everybody for listening. Look out for the next one, by the way. We're going to be talking about how to get more sales from marketing. Okay. So yeah, it's going to be me and Will again. You're going to join me again.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Forward to it. Thanks for joining us again. Hope this has been useful. And can't wait to move on to our next topic.
Brilliant. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Everybody.
Bye-bye.